is the Duffin Up Podcast.
What's going on, Duff Daddies and Duff Mamas? It is Thursday, May 27th, and welcome back to an all new episode of the Duffin Up Podcast. My name is Brendan Monroe. I am joined, as always, by the one, the only, Michael Adams. Michael, how are we doing tonight?
I get the one, the only, every single week. And there are so many. There are so many Mike Adamses out there, so it's classic. But
I was just saying
to you guys, it's been golf 24/7 over here. We are playing. We are watching. We are learning. It's a good time to be a golf fan. What a weekend we just had, fellas. I mean, that was some historical golf. And boy, did we have not only drama within the golf tournament, but immediately following. The golf world is kind of taking people by storm right now. Like, if you're into social media but not into golf, you're seeing a lot of Brooks Koepka, Bryson DeChambeau right now.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I cannot wait to get into that. And of course, as always, we are joined by the Irish Chooch himself, Timmy O'Reilly. Timmy, how are you doing this evening?
Oh my God. Coming off a huge weekend for the PGA Tour. Oh my God. Oh my God. I cannot wait to fucking unpack this thing. We usually talk about, you know, the Masters, the US Open, the British Open. Those three are great. And we don't really give that much credit to the PGA Championship, but boy, oh boy, did this poppy deliver. It delivered and then some. Enough about that. Let's get right into it.
Oh my goodness gracious. What an event. Kiawa Island in South Carolina. The South Carolina boys, we know how to put on a good event. We have had so much practice with Harbortown. We've had so much practice with other golf events. We just know how to do it. But what an absolute amazing course, an amazing event. And we had the return of one of the all-time greats coming up from the rear. Not really from the rear, because he was leading after 36 holes and never looked back. But Phil Mickelson, the greatest left-handed golfer to ever live, one of the greatest golfers, period, to ever live, comes in at 50 years old and dominates the younger crowd. Oh, my goodness gracious. I didn't know what to say. I was watching it. I was hungover on my couch on Sunday and I was watching it and I was like, I just still can't believe this is happening right now. I don't know, guys. Mikey, Timmy, well, there's so many things I want to say, but I just want to get a couple of your thoughts before I go full Brendan Phil freakout mode.
Oh my gosh. What a tournament. What a tournament. I mean, you couldn't say much because you were holding your breath down the stretch there, hoping that Phil would hang on. I mean, if you weren't rooting for Phil Mickelson in that moment, I mean, he was the guy. And obviously he's been there and he's also blown it. Like, he's just given it away. But so happy for Phil Mickelson. So happy that he got it done. He hit some incredibly terrific shots. That shot where he, I forget what hole it was, but the it was early, bunker shot. Obviously, everyone knows it, chips it in. Like, just thinking, he puts it there off the tee. It was hole three, Brendan?
Hole three. He didn't chip it in, but he put it like 3 feet away.
No. Where he, out of the sand.
Oh, that was a hole four or five. Yeah.
Hole four or five. Yeah. So he puts it in the left bunker, and he went first, I believe. And Brooks steps up and knocks it to like 10 feet, 12 feet. And you're like, all right, this could be a two shot swing here. But then Phil, miraculous Phil, with his wedges chips in from, or makes it from the sand. And it was just beautiful. And just so much other stuff going on too within the tournament. You're just, I don't know, seeing a lot of different things going on. And it was just a beautiful course. Like we talked about, it held up to its, it's tough, toughness. And these guys really did a hell of a job battling the wind and battling the water and just the pressure. It was awesome. Go Phil Mickelson.
Absolutely. Brendan, I was thinking of you the whole time. I'm like, oh man, he is representing lefty, but not only representing lefties. Obviously after like the end of the second day, you see Phil's name on the top and you're like, okay, this is really cool, you know, but you don't expect, I wasn't expecting him to hang around. I saw his name on the top. I'm like, all right, that's awesome. Good for him. You know, he's 50 years old. A lot of people, we see a lot of like Charlie Hoffman's always at the top of the leaderboard, you know, come day one, two, in the Masters. And we see, you know, surprising names at the tops after round one and two, but it's keeping that mindset. And boy, did he talk about his mindset and how he actively tries to control his mind and his breathing and everything like that. I mean, just watching him, even for like a 2 foot putt, he would stand back. He would, you know, take somewhere between 20 and 30 seconds to just look at the putt, visualize the shot. And it was wild to see. I mean, yeah, he looked goofy in his glasses. I don't know. But just the whole time, I mean, he just controlled that course. It was his to lose, and talk about, it was like something out of a movie. The 17th, the 18th hole, just with that crowd surrounding him. I mean, you don't see that now. The last time we saw that was with Tiger at the
Tour Championship in East Lake.
Yeah.
2018. Exactly. Unbelievable.
And just to see the crowd surround him. And you could not have scripted a better tournament as far as like who is winning this, at what age. The golf course, the crowd surrounding him, it was chills. And I believe Mike texted the group and he said, this is just great golf to see on TV. It was just absolutely great.
Fun note on those glasses. So I reference the McKellar Golf podcast all the time. It's Lawrence Dunnigan and Matt Catanzaro, I think, from the New York Post. And they bring in like Rory and Lee Westwood and like, Keith Grant, or the head of the European tour. I forget his name, Keith Grime, I think. But regardless, Matt Catanzaro was saying, Phil wears those glasses to tune everything out. Like they're so dark and they're so like, they're aviators. They look so, I don't know, off, a little awkward, a little like, I don't know, not hip, but go Phil again, go freaking Phil. And he can just, like you said, Tim, breathe, take in the moment, like just relax. He probably just, those glass, I don't know how you hit. I mean, I wear sunglasses when I play, but those glasses, they did them in this weekend and in a positive light.
Absolutely. I just felt as though, so you're going into the final round and the final round was everything to me. Because it started out like Phil was gonna teeter. Like hole one, we were watching. Rooks goes up, hits the birdie. Phil bogeys the hole. I'm like, uh-oh. Like, well, Phil, it was fun while, you know what I mean? I was literally like, well, this was fun while it was lasted, Phil. But he just kept grinding. He had that hole on the, he had that shot on the third hole where it was his second shot. He hit his drive into the bunker. Goes up, hits that second shot, you know, has it spin back with his immaculate wedge and low iron game. Spins it back to within 5 feet, hits that birdie, gets back up. Like it was just over and over again. You thought, okay, just like on the third day when he got to 10 under and then he duck hooked that. I think it was on 12. Hooks it into the water, double bogeys that hole, like, or bogeys that hole, has a couple more bogeys. It's just one of those things where you're just like, okay, like, when is Phil gonna do a Phil? You know what I mean? Like, when is Phil gonna do a Phil? And on the back nine, he was just solid, absolutely unbelievable. Could not believe what I was seeing at that time. It was just fantastic. It was absolutely fantastic to watch. It was incredibly entertaining. You know, other guys were playing really well too, and they had them on there, but you can't beat something like that 18th hole. That 18th hole walk up was nothing short of fantastic when they lost. I mean, they even said afterwards, they're like, we lost complete control of the situation. We absolutely lost complete control of the situation. It was crazy. Just like Phil's literally hitting his second shot and he's getting swarmed.
He put a dart in there. That was such a clutch shot. But they were saying it on the Foreplay, the Barstool Guy podcast. They were saying how it's crazy in these tournaments. Like, these people are so liquored up. Like, they've had so much to drink and they're so emotional. They're like just as invested as Phil. And obviously that happened, but like nobody did anything way over the top. It's just surprising. No. You don't see craziness being ensued.
Yeah. You saw a couple guys like try and like, you know, pat him on the back or like, and the same thing happened with Tiger back in the day too. And like that 2018 Tour Championship, it's just like everyone's walking up and Tiger's like in the crowd and it's just like, just don't do anything really.
You know what I mean, right? You know what I mean? Like
no one went and try and like take out his knee or something.
Right. Like, right. Yeah. Or even just like mess him up on the swing, like just like run at him or like, just, they're so close. I mean, and there was one moment where he puts it left because I don't know, he was just riding that wind. I think the wind changed on Sunday and a lot of people are saying that it benefited his lefty. I don't know.
There was a very big wind change. You are correct. So for the first 3 days, I think it was like holes 1 through 5 and then 13 through 18 were into the wind, and then holes 5 through 12 were with the wind, and then it just completely flipped on Sunday. They're like, oh, it's a wind direction. They showed like an incredible thing where it was like the field, like on those specific holes during the week, it was like +1,000, like literally like +1,000, and then on Sunday it was like -30.
Right.
It was like, you know that there was a humongous wind shift when it goes from that hard to that easy. And the same thing with like 5 through 12, it was like, oh, during the week, these were like -30. And then on that Sunday, it was +37.
It was crazy to see. Like, it wasn't necessarily the holes that were hard. It was just, obviously everything was hard there, but the wind made everything that much more difficult, like beyond difficult. But I was saying, Phil put it left and the gallery is so close on his left. Like my ball goes into the gallery 35% of the time, maybe even higher. But it's like, even if you're going to hit a draw, like, or a fade, like I'm hooking it. I'm like aiming. Cause who knows, in golf, aiming is so hard, but like they are so confident in their swing and that it's just going where they know it's going. And they don't, like, it's crazy how close these people line up to these major sport outings, and we're good so far.
Oh yeah, that picture of I think it was on like 12 or 13 where they had to make a little like a window because he was like, you know, Phil was pretty far out of the fairway into the rough, so like the gallery like made a window, and I'm just sitting there and I'm looking at it and I'm watching him line up and I was like, I would kill, like, I would legitimately kill someone.
Why,
like,
are you standing there? What? Back up. I'm forfeiting my front row seat. I don't want to get rocketed in the wherever with a golf ball. No, but these guys are so good.
Exactly. And I did hear, so Brooks did say that on going back to the whole, this course isn't built, like, this course maybe was built more for lefties, and definitely with the wind direction, like, it definitely helped out lefties. I'm sitting there, I'm like, 99.9% of the courses in the world are made for righties because righties are 90% of the population. Yep. And that makes sense. You get one course and you can't stop, you know, bitching about it because a lefty had an advantage one time on a course. Calm yourselves.
Yeah.
No, that was the most ridiculous thing I'd ever heard.
You're absolutely right. And I was listening to the No Laying Up podcast. They interviewed Bones today and he was saying the same thing because he caddied for lefty and they had him on. He was talking. It was great. And he's just talking about how Augusta is a lefty favorable golf course and how Bones thought that Phil would be the oldest major winner. He thought it was going to be the Masters. He didn't realize it would be the PGA Championship, but he's just, they're talking about lefties and how golf courses are made for righties. Even Bones told a story about they just lay water coolers out there on golf courses and they don't take into effect that a lefty might be swinging, and they have to move water coolers every time they appear on a hole where he's teeing off and there's water coolers around. Cause people don't think about you guys, Brendan, the lefties.
They don't. They do not. Here we go. He's back.
Holy Moses. That was a big blind.
Hello.
He's back. He is back. We did not stop recording, by the way. So anyone who's listening.
We haven't cut out ever. So this one, it might be a cutout, but let's ride right now, baby.
We're just going to keep riding. Tim, do you have headphones or something you could just snag in so that way we don't hear ourselves too?
oh Jesus Christ.
What is happening?
I am so sorry.
No, that's why we can fucking edit shit.
one take, everyone knows the rules. But hey, he's back. Right, there he is.
He's back.
Why is that doing that?
There is a huge echo.
Yeah, big time echo.
All right, keep
going. Oh, not now.
No, well, he muted himself.
Oh, Timmy, talk now.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Huge echo. Do you have AirPods?
Yeah, hold on.
Yeah, throw those in. Oh man.
One take, well, everyone knows the rules.
One take, everyone knows the rules. Everyone who's listening to this is gonna be like, where has Tim been for the last 10 minutes while Mike and Brendan just talk about Phil? Oh,
Ricky Fowler up tied in eighth, minus.
Oh three. Man. You skipped ahead again, Mike. No, I'm kidding.
I'm just excited by this leaderboard. I mean,
it was a great leaderboard. So like
my guy Finau finished in tied in eighth, minus one.
Oh, everyone finished tied for eighth. Yeah. Oh my God. Everyone finished. Did you see it went from like T8 to like T19? Like 11 or 12 people finished tied for eighth. It was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah.
But hey, they all got top 10 in majors, so that's all that matters. But, you know, great for Phil. Hey, first win on the PGA Tour since 2019. So he did have back-to-back Champions Tour victories in between his PGA Tour victories. So he played twice on the Champions Tour and he won twice on the Champions Tour. So just saying, Phil's got a good record on the Champions Tour if he ever wants to go that way. But, you know, he just passed old Tom Morris, who the oldest player to ever win a major. Old Tom Morris held that record since 1867.
Holy hell. That's right. Yo, just
about that.
That's unreal.
Like, golf was invented in the 1850s. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is the most ridiculous thing that could have happened. And it's unbelievable that Phil, like, out of nowhere, like, legitimately out of nowhere, he hadn't been playing all that great recently. You know, he really hadn't. And he just kind of got locked in and he went for it on a course that was built for lefties. So get it through your head. We get one course, and I'm good.
I was out at a Mexican restaurant Sunday night Phil went, and I was watching, and his post round there on the 18th green, the little speech, his post round speech was kind of like tugged at the heartstrings. You know, made you like want to shed a tear. It's just all about working hard and just like persevering. And it was nothing rah rah, nothing like self centered. It was just all like, yeah, man. He just obviously was very thankful, very satisfied.
Him and Brandel Chamblee. And Tim, I'm not sure if you heard it or not, but it was like after all the interviews and everything, him and Brandel Chamblee are like talking on Golf Channel, and Brandel's like, you know, like, how, you know, you played great, like, how did you do it? And he was like, well, you know, this is the longest PGA, this is the longest course to ever hold a PGA championship. So here you just gotta, you know, hit bombs. And he turns to Brandel, he's like, and you know, Brandel, I do hit bombs. I like lost it.
That's classic.
Oh, classic, classic Phil.
Hey, before we move on from Phil, I have a question for you guys. Like, you hear this PGL, the Premier Golf League, the Super Golf League, being thrown around to these middle-aged guys, and Lee Westwoods and these guys are saying, I mean, if someone's going to throw $40 million guaranteed at me over the next, I don't even know, 5-10 years, I'm taking it. Like, it's just a no-brainer type attitude that some of these guys are taking. Even Adam Scott, I think, is considering it, like, just guys that have been asked about it. Does this make Phil, like, more rooted in the PGA Tour, more just really kind of this is home now? Or is he, you think he's still out there seeking the money?
I'm not sure, because of the fact that he was the original guy. Like, Phil was the original guy that the Saudi Arabians and the Qataris, like, he's the guy that they went to. To be like, we are going to give you $50 million and you're going to play in our golf league.
He's already played in a bunch of their golf tournaments for.
Yeah, I mean, that was way back. That's still like, those are technically like European Tour and everything sanctioned like that. But yeah, back when the Dubai Classic just started up, they would pay him $1 million just to go. They paid him and Tiger Woods $1 million just to go to the tournament.
I'm just out here begging Phil, if you're listening, Philly, stay. Just
stay on the PGA. Stay on the PGA.
Don't risk being shut out of majors or having to go through lawsuits or having to go. Just stay in the PGA Tour. Keep everything here. I mean, I know it's selfish to say, but this is awesome stuff. We need to keep this rolling. Anyone who listened last week and tuned in Saturday and Sunday because of our golf podcast here, you're welcome.
Well, I have a prediction as to why they asked Phil. I mean, I feel like they asked him because he is the biggest name. Who they thought didn't have any more chances or didn't have any more wins left in him in the PGA Tour. So they were like, all right, like, Phil, we can really throw this idea at him. If Phil thought he didn't have any wins left in him, but little did they know, Phil knew deep down that he had.
I don't think Phil knew. I think he's just, if you kind of listen to him, he was like, he hasn't been playing well at all. He's been terrible. And he just came out and won this. It was just unreal.
Well, in his interview, he said that he has been working so hard, obviously, with his diet, with his workouts and everything like that, that he knew he had it in him, but then he also questioned whether he did have it in him. And that win solidified the fact that all that work and all that all that preparation was for something. And but I did like in his interview after where he said, this very well might be my last win ever. But then he left it open. And he said, but I may have a few more in me. So, you know, so he's not, you're right, Mike. He's not really too sure whether he has stuff in him, but like in classic Phil fashion, we never know what we're going to see. And so that's part of the gem that is Phil Mickelson.
It feels like he's also like just genuine and kind of like honest. And I mean, he obviously doesn't know, right? He wants to win more, I'm sure, but he's like, I could not. So he's not a guy who you listen to and he's like me. He seems like he's with it. He's a smart guy. Phil's grown on me a lot again. He rivaled Tiger, so we've talked about it. Anybody opposing and threatening the big cat, go away. But again, all these guys grow on me, and golf's just, it's growing.
Where does Phil rank in greatest lefty athletes of all time?
Wow.
Probably one, like close to one.
I'm thinking about it. I'm like Rafael Nadal. I'm like
him, Randy Johnson.
Barry Bonds.
Like David Ortiz, kind of. Like, he's up there, man. He is. Like,
Babe Ruth, he didn't throw lefty.
Yeah, I was just about to say, didn't Babe Ruth only bat lefty? Didn't he pitch righty?
He just batted lefty, yeah.
Yeah, that don't count. That don't count.
No.
Wayne Gretzky is actually right-handed, but since he accomplished his NHL records using a lefty stick, he makes the list.
Interesting.
Then you got to kind of put Wayne Gretzky at the top, but like besides that,
I thought Wayne used a lefty stick. I didn't know.
Yeah. I mean, that turns everything into like a completely different scenario now, because you literally have yeah. I mean, so then he's two. Then he's between two and five, I would say.
Great question, Timmy. I like it. Is Griffey up there?
I was just going to say, the Say Hey Kid. I mean, he batted lefty, but
He threw lefty. He threw lefty. Yep.
Okay.
But left, yep. Like, almost fills, again, like you said, Brendan, golf courses were structured for righties. Baseball is kind of structured
for lefties.
Yeah. So there's just more.
The right field porch is almost always, the right field fence is almost always the most kind of in fence at pretty much every ballpark.
I absolutely disagree with that. Baseball is made for righties. And I'll tell you, with no lefty can play shortstop, no lefty can play catcher, no lefty can play third base, or the infield. They can only play first base, ideally, and they only have lefties in the outfield if you are a lefty.
Right. I was thinking pitcher. I was thinking there's niches in baseball. Like, it's easy if you're a lefty stud in baseball, it's easy.
If you're a lefty batter, 100%, you have the advantage.
Right. And yeah, there's just certain situations where it's more accessible, I feel like, for lefties. I don't know, Brendan, you would know better. Is golf harder for lefties than baseball is for lefties?
I mean, I wasn't a pitcher in baseball, so like, I would never know about that side. I do agree it's much easier. It's easier if you're a pitcher, if you're a decent lefty pitcher, you have a much better percentage of getting to the majors than a decent righty pitcher, obviously. But it's kind of 50-50, like, with that. I get Timmy's side of it, but as a batter, the right field porch is always shorter because since there's not as many lefties, they structured it back in the day so that it was easier to hit opposite field home runs, because no one could hit opposite field home runs because everyone just dead pulls it. So yeah, I mean, it's a tough conversation, and I do agree with that. That's a really, really good question.
Correct. The perfect baseball player is a righty thrower, lefty batter, yes. Because there's more righty pitchers, and you're facing that opposite hand. But anyway, we're not a baseball player. Sorry about that.
No, we are not. No, that's hey. We'll do seam head talk. We'll get Timmy on another pod called Seam Head Talk or something like that. We'll build the Duffin Up Podcast Network. Oh, that'd be unbelievable. Oh,
oh shit.
Unbelievable. But yeah, so great job for Phil. Unreal. Obviously, we had a whole nother tournament to talk about, but Brooks Abba, Brooks Koepka, and Louis both finished, and Louis Oosthuizen coming up at T2. Brooks right now, I think, is the level that we don't see in majors very often, where he does not play well in regular tournaments. Like, he doesn't really want to play in the regular tournaments, but he comes into majors and he just does very, very well. Since 2017, he has won four majors. He has finished in the top 10. Sorry, I'm counting them, including 2019, where he finished, where he won a major. He finished second twice, and he came in fourth in the Open Championship. That's one of the greatest major seasons of all times. Yeah, I mean, he's finished in the top 10 in majors 10 times in the last 4 years.
Now I wouldn't exactly call, Brooks Koepka a great golf mind. No. I would call him coming close to winning these golf tournaments just on pure physical
athleticism.
Mm-hmm. Yes. If he had that it factor, which is a golf mind, I feel like he would be absolutely diabolical on the leaderboards, just day in and day out. But something clicks. I mean, his competitive his competitive mind and his competitive athleticism, something clicks in those major tournaments. You're right, Brendan, that where he is just a contender, and obviously the better man won. I mean, who the hell, like Mike said way in the beginning, who the hell was not rooting for Phil Mickelson to pull out a W in this? But
exactly,
it just made for, but yeah,
nope. Yeah, and go ahead Mikey, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, you kind of hear Brooks, like, again, I'll reference other podcasts that I listen to, No Laying Up Podcast. Like, their Bones is just talking about how Phil loved playing golf, like going to just his course and just picking up a guy in the bar, obviously someone he knows, but just like going out and playing with that guy and just throwing foursomes around and playing on his off days and just loving the game. And Brooks Koepka is a guy who talks about trying not to play the game when he's not competing for money. Like, he only plays, or it seems like he talks a game where he says he only plays or practices leading up to big time tournaments. So I'm seeing that come back to bite Brooks in the ass. And I kind of like it, because he isn't one of those cool kids. And I think he's a little butthurt about it. And he's trying to create ways to get in the headlines and be more of a front and center. But I don't know. I'm so thrilled Phil put him into the ground this fucking season. And Brooks, he's hella talented, skilled. Let's not take anything away from that. But he's kind of becoming a branch off of a guy you like Bryson can root against.
And we will get into that in a little bit, but we did want to cover some other things first as well. Another thing with Brooks is that he has probably one of the best caddies, if not the best caddy on tour right now, in Ricky Elliott. Like, that's seriously, Ricky Elliott's an unbelievable caddy. So having him like on his bag, yeah, I think that significantly helps Brooks, and he's had him on the bag since 2013. So you can see that relation. You know what I mean? Like, that's a huge relationship for him. That's literally your other, you know, it's like without Jordan Spieth without Michael Greller, or like, trying to think of, you know, Tiger went after him and Michael Williams got into that big argument and he dropped Mike Williams and Mike went over to Adam Scott, and Adam Scott won the Masters.
Stevie
Williams. Sorry, not Michael Williams. Stevie Williams. My bad, Steve Williams.
No.
Or you think about it when Phil and Bones stopped caddying for Phil. Like, Phil kind of went through a little bit of a roller coaster when he put Tim on. Now I think it's definitely evened out. Obviously, they just won a major together. But it's kind of those things when you have someone that you trust as much on your bag. Helps. It's just having a teammate out there. So I do think Brooks Brooks is great. He's a great player. I do think he's lucky on that. I do think he has a really good relationship with his caddy, and that definitely helps him too. Other player for T2, Louis Oosthuizen. I think even though the Open is not at St. Andrews this year, it's at Royal George, Louis has been playing really well recently, and I think he is going to be like first name on the sheet when we get to the Open for me, because I think he could pull another 2009 where he just goes in and crushes it. Like, there's some courses that I think he just plays well at. This was a type of course that I think he's used to, and Royal St. George is also one of those types of courses. So I do think it would be an unbelievable. I think he's going to have a great showing there too.
I want to know more about Louis Oosthuizen. I know him as just having a great swing. I love picking him on my lineups. I want to know about, is there a documentary on this guy?
Big Adele fan. Sings Adele on plane rides home. Not kidding. There are so many videos of him singing Adele. It's hilarious.
I did not know that, and I will have to look that up.
Oh, yeah. So unbelievable from both of those guys being able to stay in as long as they did. We'll get into Brooks a little bit more because there was obviously everything going on. I was not the biggest fan of his comments after the final round. Like, they sounded a little whiny, but we'll get into that a little bit more when we get down to some other areas. Rounding out the top five, which was not the top five. It seems like it was the top 50. but tied for fourth, you had Ryder Cup captain Patrick Harrington.
Crazy.
Timbo, you picked the wrong Ryder Cup captain for the week, even though Stricker made the cut. Big True. Steve made the cut. Shane Lowry, so two Irishmen in the top five. Paul Casey. And in his first ever major event, Harry Higgs has a top five in a major at -2. going out on Friday, makes a chip on 17 that was like 50 feet away, nails a 64-foot putt on 18 for birdie. So he back-to-back birdies. I think they said he made like 110 feet worth of chip and putt on those last two holes. Like an unbelievable thing from Harry Higgs right there.
From just downtown.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Both of them, too. The chip was closer than the putt on 18. How insane is that? The chip on 17 was closer than the putt on 18. And the chip on 17 was far away.
My God.
Oh, man. So really cool to see Big Ray. I don't know if he likes Big Rig or Big Beautiful better. That was a big conversation. But Big Rig Harry Higgs, I like that name. I think I'm going to stick with Big Rig Harry Higgs. Unbelievable top five finish for him in his first major. I love those stories. It was like Zalatoris at the Masters. Like it's just so cool to see.
Another
Big
guy.
Rig.
He's going to be there. He's going to be there for a while. He's a young gun.
Higgsy's only 27. He's a young guy.
You made me aware of Harry Higgs too.
I did. When he has a beard and I have my beard, we look the same. Except he gets Grayson clothes for free, and I do not have the money to spend $150 on a Grayson polo, so I will not be wearing them.
Yeah. Oh boy. It's like when you see the Peter Millar quarter zips and stuff like that. They look so good, but then you're like, they are $100 and some odd.
Birthday present.
Yep.
That will be my one birthday present a year from today until the day I die. One Peter Millar polo every year, and a pair of Adidas socks, and I'm good. Did you hear that, people? I'm good.
Get him a pair of Adidas socks.
Oh man, but. Unfortunately, we did have some big names miss the cut this week too, which I was shocked about. So the first one, I mean, the biggest name by far, besides Phil, who won it, biggest name, Dustin Johnson.
None.
Missed the cut. He is the first number one overall player since Greg Norman in, I believe it was 1994, to miss the first two cuts of the first two majors for a season, being ranked world number one.
Insane. Incredible stat.
And he's from South Carolina. He's from the state. You've played Kiowa before. You went to school in Myrtle Beach. Like that's, you know, it's about 2 hours away from Myrtle Beach, but still. Come on, man. We got to get it together, DJ.
Now, what aspect of his game do you think affected him the most? What I mean by that is
ball striking. Ball striking.
Right. But does this, I mean, I don't have the stats in front of me, but I wonder how he fares on links style courses, and that this wind had, you know, everything to do with him just, I mean, missing the cut. That's big. I mean, it's not like he just played bad. He missed the cut. I mean, and he's the number one player in the world. Like you said, is it the wind? Is it a links style course? Is it just the pressure? I mean, we know he can do it under pressure. But I don't know. I wonder, I'm not going to pick him in the British Open. That's for sure.
Just yeah.
In case it isn't.
So that's the weird part, because he's got four top 10 finishes in the British Open.
And what the
he's
heck?
He's only been cut twice from it. Honestly, I think he just had he's just having a bad year. Like, you know what? I think he's just having a little bit of a down year. Like we saw Rory 2-3 years ago, I think was Rory's like down year. But like you look at Dustin Johnson, and literally in the past, in 2019, he finished second at the PGA. In 2020, he finished tied for second at the PGA. 2021, you're just like, oh, he's going to do it. It's in his home state, like all that stuff. Missed the cut. Oh, brutal, brutal from DJ. But he wasn't the only one. Justin Thomas missed the cut too. And finally, one of our own. Missed the cut. Xander Schauffele's first missed cut in a major championship since 2017. And boy, he was in, and then he had probably one of the worst 18th holes I've ever seen. It was just nightmare status. Absolutely horrible. Oh, man. Hits two balls into the gallery.
He got that that loss out of the way, or miscut in a major championship out of the way. There was no shot he was beating Mr. Philip Mickelson anyway. It's a good one to miss. Good one to miss.
That is true. That is true. But hey, great tournaments. A little bit of a daily fantasy. Oh, sorry, Michael. Go ahead.
No, I know Max Homa is your boy, right?
I do like Max Homa. He had a very bad day. Oh, we got to talk about Cameron Tringale too. Sorry, Cameron Tringale.
Oh yeah,
Max missed the cut. Yeah. Do you know who Max's caddy was?
Who?
Bones.
Bones McKay.
Yeah.
Wow. Just for the week.
Interview, Mike.
Yeah, just for the week, because.
What, his other caddy wasn't feeling great or something?
His other caddy, he let him play in like a USGA, like four ball tourney or something.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. That's great. Good job, Max. But yeah, I mean, Cameron Tringale.
That was a tough stretch.
Yes, it was.
So tough.
Oh, man. First day, you're tied for second. Second day, you're doing good on the front, on the back. You know, you start out okay, and then all of a sudden you just hit tens. Like, oh my god, what an awful round from Cameron Tringale, who, get this, is the only player in the top 50, I think it's top 40 or top 50, of money to of like career money, that has not won a tournament. He's never won a tournament, not even a major. He's never won a tournament, and he has a career, he's got career winnings of $16 million.
Wow. Get out.
Small ball.
Yeah, but also you think about it too, and a lot of those guys, like, I mean, he's gotten plenty of top of second places, you know what I mean? So like second place now, you win 700, 800K, you know? Do that 10 times, you got 7 million. So you do that another 10 times, you got 14 million. So you're getting right there with just 20 second places. That's all you need throughout your career. Just 20 seconds.
Oh,
yeah. But oh my God, what an absolute meltdown from Cameron. I felt terrible for him, but I was just kind of watching it and I was like, they immediately took him off TV, like immediately took him off the TV coverage after that hole. They're like, all right, he's done.
And this is on Friday.
This is on Friday, right?
Yeah. So he got crushed by the cut.
So he was on 14, he made a 6 on a par 3, 15, he made 4, 16, he made a 10 on a par 5, 17, he made a 7 on a par 3. 18, he made a bogey on a par 4 for a going out of 48, par 36.
Ooh, that sounds like Matt scores.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, man. Brutal. So
they legitimately didn't show a shot of his after that.
No, they just took him immediately off it. Like after the 17th hole, they're like, "Where he's done."
Dude, he was three under for the tournament through,
yep,
through 31 holes.
Absolutely insane. Like legitimately insane. Oh man, what can Kiowa do to you? But you know, good news about major championships is when you play some daily fantasy games, you know, sometimes the guys might be a little bit cheaper and you might be able to win a little bit of money. So anyone win money this week besides yours truly?
How much did you win?
$40. So
nah.
Yeah, I was pretty happy.
You went to the $20 one, right?
I did the $20 one, yeah. So, oh,
that's,
man,
the biggest winning so far.
No, I had the $60 one at Augusta.
Oh, you did. That's right.
But you guys got to play. Just play the $20 one during the for the majors. Just play the $20 one, so that way, you know, You can win all your money, and then that way you're good for the rest of the tournament.
So that's not a bad idea. For the majors, I'll definitely do that. But
yeah, for the regular ones, $5 ones, $5. That's it.
Oh, sure.
Normal tournaments, you get $5 from me, Daily Fantasy Group, that we will not say on here because you don't sponsor our podcast. But that's okay. I think we lost Mike for a second, but I was going to bring up the fact that he, you know, Stan Burns was one of our picks that we thought was going to go real well. And then withdraw. Big old WD.
WD.
Absolute worst thing you can see.
Oh my God. That was, but hopefully you changed him before.
Mm-hmm. He didn't. All right, good. No, he didn't.
No,
he didn't. No, he had him in there.
Oh, he didn't even get a sniff of the tournament.
Nope. But he had like Corey. So he had a great lineup too. Cause he had like Corey Connors, Louie, like he had a bunch of guys. And then like, mm-hmm. but Sam Burns like literally got him negative numbers because he shot like a 45 on the front and then pulled out.
Oh,
he's back. He's back. We were talking about your buddy, Sam.
He's never picking him again.
Just he's like in that. The doghouse for a pick. He's in the doghouse.
He's in the doghouse. He's got to come out of the doghouse.
That's the okay. Jason Day. He's the Jason Day withdrawal.
When you see a WD next to a guy in daily fantasy that you pick, you just, I just ran out to my friggin' car to get my phone. Cause I don't even know if I won money or not. I didn't look in my lineup after I saw a WD next to Sam Burns' name. Like
you can't, you legitimately cannot look at it. You're just like, I'm done. And you had a great lineup too. Cause you had Louie and Corey Connors in there who both finished, Corey finished top 20 and Louie did well too.
Yeah, talk about sleeping on a lead and just having it vanish in a matter of minutes, Corey Connors.
Yeah.
You went out and balled, and then just first nine holes on Friday were like, wee. All right, back to real life. That probably didn't get a good night's sleep.
Well, there goes gravity. So, yeah, a little rough. but, I mean, I know we will talk about a little bit more of this. But I think the biggest thing besides Phil winning this week, and this is by far, and this is once again a Brendan Monroe special of switching the topics. The biggest thing that came out of this week after Phil winning was Brooks and Bryson 100% rivalry being on. Oh my God. God, when Golf Channel dropped that video.
Someone got fired,
but it was so worth it.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, you know, when that, whoever that was, it might have been like the intern or something like that. He's like, this is going to go viral. Like, literally, Bryson walking by. Now, there are things people said, like, Bryson might have chirped him, been like, oh, you got to line the, because Brooks was talking about putting. And some people say that Bryson chirped him and said, like, well, that's because you got to line the putt up right or something. You got to line it up first or something like that. So apparently, like, there's one thing that said that. And there's another thing that Brooks just hates that Bryson, like, wears metal spikes, which you're not supposed to do, by the way. It's bad for the course. Like, you're not supposed to wear metal spikes anymore. But apparently, Bryson's a true traditionalist in that standpoint. So he wears metal spikes. I don't really get it, but he just walks up and Brooks's face of just like, it's just one of the best things I've ever seen.
Even his eye roll before they even started talking to who's the, you know, Todd something, right? Todd.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I forget his last name.
Yeah, he's always there. But interviewing Brooks, like Brooks standing there, like heads rocked to the side, like eyes in the back of his head, like kind of like motioning or looking towards Bryson's area because that's where he came from. I don't even know what, like, obviously if something was said by Bryson, that's classic. Looking up on Twitter right now, the line that Bryson tweeted or Instagrammed at Brooks. What was that, Tim? I love that line. He said, I'm so happy. Like, I'm
rent free in your head.
That is terrific. Cause he is like, Brooks is literally like bothered by Bryson, and Bryson is doing nothing. Like, obviously Bryson, he's annoying as hell, but like, he's literally living rent free in his head right now.
It is. Yep. And then obviously with today's announcement of the match, and so that will be Phil and Tom Brady going up against Aaron Rodgers and Bryson DeChambeau. And Tom Brady, as New England boys, the three of us. Oh, my God. Tom Brady on Twitter is just an absolute masterpiece. Having those memes of it literally being Aaron Rodgers as bright as Brooks and Bryson walking behind, and it just says Bryson just happy to be here, and Brooks being Aaron Rodgers knowing he has to hang out with Bryson all day.
Oh my goodness. Even fantastic. Brady tweeting the Packers kicking a field goal down
7.
Aaron Rodgers. Oh my, he tweeted that. That's classic stuff. Tom Brady's just on that I don't give a fuck level.
Brooks Koepka, Brooks tweeting Aaron Rodgers saying sorry, bro. It's also unbelievable. And then Bryson, of course, coming back and just, you know, having kind of a cringeworthy jokes about the deflated footballs. Like, he could come up with something. He could have come up with something a lot better. Like, he could have like come up with something about, you know, Phil and Brady being old, because both of them are very like, Brady's gonna be 44. Phil it just turned 50 and just beat you, Bryson, and beat you pretty good. But anyways, we'll digress from that. You know, make an old joke, make something like that, like deflated footballs, man. Like, come on, that's a little overplayed. Just a little overplayed. And Phil coming in. Did you guys see Phil's tweet back to Brooks?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Him tweeting being like, I feel like I'm the middleman in this and should tap out. But then in parentheses saying, except they want the current PGA champ.
What if we just replace Phil with Brooks in the actual match and just had Phil MC the whole thing?
No, what they said is that they want that a couple people have talked about it. They would love if Brooks was what Justin Thomas was last time and was like the MC and just like walking around the course and like talking all that, because he would just go up to friggin' Bryson and be like, bet you can't hit it. Bet you can't hit it. Bet you can't hit it. Like, it would. Oh, man. All right, dude. Hurry the hell up. Like, you know, he would roast him for times, too. Oh,
Lawrence Donegan on the McKellar Golf Podcast said something classic. He said, pair Bryson and Brooks up in the Ryder Cup in the four ball, because they're just going to want to beat one another. Like, they're just going to want to
go. Oh, my God. Like,
imagine if they were paired up in a Ryder. No way.
Imagine them paired up in alt shot. One of them would completely fuck the other one. Like, on one hole. Like, if they were like 5 up with 6 to play, you know that Brooks would be petty enough to absolutely flub a chip. Like, you know, or like hit the ball backwards.
Unreal.
Oh, man.
That's going to continue to unfold, which is pretty cool. Pretty cool.
I love it. Golf needs a little rivalry. Like, It was fun back in the, like, Tiger and Phil. It wasn't like, you know what I mean? Like, they didn't hate each other. Like, it wasn't like that. Tiger and Sergio hated each other. Tiger and Rory Sabatini hated each other. Tiger and a couple other guys hated each other. So, like, those types of fun, or not fun rivalries, those types of, like, real rivalries, it's good for golf. This is good for golf. We don't just need the Jordan, you know what? We don't just need Jordan Spieth, who's, like, a really good golfer and, like, a really nice guy. You need kind of, like, you know, you need the Patrick Reeds, you need the Ian Poulters, you need the Brooks Koepkas right now. You need the Brysons. We have said, how many times have I said on this podcast that Bryson is, well, I think now he's the second most entertaining, because let's be real, what Phil did this week, like, Bryson would never get that. There would have been no green march up if that was Bryson on the, you know what I mean? I don't think that would have happened.
No, of course not.
I don't think that would have happened on anyone but Phil. Like, legitimately anyone but Phil. I don't think that happens. But Phil moves that needle. So I now will say that Bryson is probably the second most entertaining golfer, but still definitely and by far and away the most divisive. But you need that. You need the divisiveness. I want keep making it interesting. Both of these guys definitely kind of have, like, you know what I mean? Like, Bryson's the nerd that got jacked. Bryson's kind of like the nerdy kid that got jacked, and Brooks is the jock that, like, never, you know, he's panned out, but, like, he's kind of like a little on the down in the dumps right now. So it's unbelievable to watch.
I feel like Tiger Woods being away from the game too might have helped all of this. Like, it's so many other storylines, so much other in golf. Like, what happens with his reemergence when he comes back? Like, the game's just going to just be totally.
If.
Oh, hey.
I'm just saying if, because it's legitimately an if right now, which sucks, which is horrible, but it is still an if right now.
He's coming back.
I know. I really want him to. I just want him and Phil to play another match. Like, that's all I really want. Like, I don't even need Tiger on the PGA. Just have him and Phil go out and play again.
Get out of town. You're nuts. Don't
be. No, ridiculous. Have him and Phil play, and then the year after, Tiger can go play the Masters. That's me. let him have a year to kind of get his feet ready again. How funny would it be if he went and played like a Corn Ferry Tour event?
Oh my God.
That Corn Ferry Tour event would have so many cameras and would be sold out in 5 seconds.
Don't disgrace Wood, Eldrick. Come on.
I mean, why am I disgracing him? I'm saying that would be fun.
He ain't going on the Corn Ferry Tour. He doesn't even know what that is.
I know. I gave it a shot. Him and Steph Curry could play together in one event
that would be
fun. Tony Romo. But
no, we need him in the majors. I only want him in 4 golf tournaments a year. You know what they are.
Yeah, we do. And not in the Premier Golf League. Not in the Premier Golf League.
Mm-hmm. All right, Brendan. I got your little match thing. Let's do. Remember, we were talking way back when we were talking about a 4-man golf scramble at Chamawa. Mm-hmm. What if we had Phil be a captain of one under. Team, Tiger be a captain of another team? They pick their 3 guys and they're playing 4-man scrambles at whatever course. I don't know. How cool would that? I would love to see a 4-man scramble of professional golfers. Way off topic. My apologies, but just
no. That's our that could be our golfer poll. That could literally be our golfer poll right now.
Timmy, you mean Tiger and 3 of us and like Phil and 3
no,
of us?
No, his 3 and 3 of his picks, and like, Phil and 3 of his picks.
Tiger picking Bryson or whoever, DJ. We're making a squad.
We're saying what that score would be at Chamawa.
Not who would their squad, like who would their top, like we could do a mock draft or something like that, but just how low would that score be? How cool would that be? Like,
we doing a snake draft?
Ooh, first annual.
We doing a snake draft?
We jumping golfer pull up a couple notches here.
I mean, all we have to talk about after this is the Charles Schwab Challenge, which like
and bogeys.
And bogeys. I haven't played, so Mike's got his bogeys. But
many double, triple bogeys.
Oh yeah, I know. I didn't play last week, unfortunately. But why don't we do that? Why don't we do bogeys right now? Why don't we do bogeys for the boys right now? And then we'll go into our golfer pole snake draft, where we get one legend captain. And this isn't going to be fair because everyone knows.
No tiger.
So you get one. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Nope.
Dead or alive?
Has to be alive.
Okay.
Has to be alive. Has to be either on the PGA Tour or the Champions Tour, but you get every single golfer in your prime. In their prime.
Okay. All right. I like it.
Jack Nicklaus doesn't count because he doesn't play. And like Gary Player doesn't count because he doesn't play anymore. So like you can't, you know what I mean? Those legend captains don't count. But like a guy on the PGA Tour or the Legends Tour or the Champions Tour who's like still playing on a regular basis. You know what I mean? So you get one of your captains and you get 3 guys.
All right. Should we do a bogeys for the boys first?
We're going to do bogeys for the boys first, and this is why I should really edit the podcast, but I just don't, you know, it doesn't really matter, but back to bogeys for the boys. So,
Mike, talk to me about what? Go ahead.
No, Brendan didn't play.
Bogeys for the boys and girls. Sorry, and girls. Oh, I did not play this week, so Michael.
Shame on you.
Ooh, it's a rough week, my friend. I think I'm going to play Friday. I'm going to try and play Friday. I'll figure it out.
Got it. Yeah, no. So joined a country club, as I noted last week, Ledgemont. which has been awesome. It's been absolutely fantastic. I've only played like a couple holes here and there, nothing too crazy, but just the luxury of being able to wake up at, I don't know, the crack ass of dawn and head over and hit some balls and maybe play a couple holes and then go to work is fantastic. So I'm really reaping those rewards and going to continue to hit. The rough at this place, the rough at Ledgemont is
rough,
man. It is so thick. No, it's just on another level thick. You go left or right, your ball's gone. Like,
yeah, it's wing foot. It's wing foot level.
Bring a bunch of balls. Like, and yeah, I mean, I'm in a rush in the morning. So I'm just, I mean, it's an absolute shit show out there, but it's fun as hell. Weather's been great. But I do have a notable round. I played Agawam with some kind of friends and loved it. So that's the golf course that I live on, and made a birdie putt on 18 below the hole from like 20, 25 feet to solidify a $5 Nassau. And it was beautiful. It trickled into the hole and we had a hell of a time out there and I hit it pretty good. So looking forward to getting back out there. And yeah, man, don't know when that's going to be because I got some stuff I got to take care of this weekend, but let's ride next week. It's a whole new ball game. Can't hit the drive off the tee. Cannot hit the drive off the tee. Got to figure that shit out.
Tim, you play this week?
I did. I played a couple of nines. I played one nine with my girlfriend. And she's hysterical on the golfer. I spent a lot of the time catching frogs. I was just back in kid mode, and she kept me loose, and I was just catching frogs in between shots, and ended up shooting 42. And then I played nine.
Golf, it can bring out the kid in you.
It can. We were talking about climbing trees last week, or at least before the podcast, I was catching frogs, you know, back to the roots. And then played nine at North Kingstown, which is right on Quonset airfield. And it's kind of cool, right on the, you know, you can see the hangars and all the planes taking off and things like that. Played with a couple guys, and this was right before Phil won. So this was Sunday morning.
Nice.
But that's about it. Then shot a 41 there, but it's a par 34 on the back. I think it's three par threes. So nothing they were.
Would you say that your girlfriend had needed a little more corn? Too much corn? Or just enough corn on the golf course?
Oh, there was some corn. Oh, yeah.
Oh man, I was saying on the bachelor party weekend, I was saying that like Brian hit like a bad, I hit a bad putt and I like yelled it at myself. And then I think Brian hit like a little duff shot, or not duff shot, but like, you know, ending up like 20 feet away from the hole when he wanted to put it like five. And I was like, a little more corn.
Timmy, was it a tick? It was your TikTok where she was raking the bunker and she didn't even hit in the bunker.
Yeah. We got to the bunker and she's like, what are they? Because she's only played golf during COVID when there was no rakes. And so this is her first non-COVID round. And she saw the rakes. She's like, they just leave rakes here for you? I was like, yeah. You rake them after you hit from the bunker. And she is nowhere near the bunker. So she takes the rake and she's like raking this thing like it's a little Zen garden.
Dude, and I got to tell you. So last Friday, I get out of work and I go over to Ledgemont. It's like dusk and I got glow balls. So I'm set. I can play a couple holes in the dark, but I find this bunker greenside on like, I don't know, hole 12 or 13. And I just start chipping out of it. And I'm like, damn, this bunker friggin' sucks. This sand hasn't been raked. Like someone needs to do something here. So I take that thing and I just start raking and I'm like, damn it. This is so therapeutic. Like, this is just so much like, I'm making a golf course better. I'm actively moving my muscles. I'm doing something good here, and there's nothing to think about but bring this rake back and forth and make the sand nice and smooth.
And you wonder why whenever I say like what my dream job would be, it would be a caddy at a PGA on the PGA tour.
Dude, I've been listening to so many golf podcasts where caddies are being interviewed, and it's just my heartstrings are like, can I live through vicariously through you for like
just a week? Just a week. Just try it.
Just keep talking about it. Just keep talking about it. Keep telling me stories and keep just explaining the behind the scenes work. And it's so cool. It's fascinating.
Plus their job is now like they act, you know, with the introduction of the range finders, which I hope continues because that did work this week at the PGA Championship. I do think that'll definitely help both the golfers and the caddies too. And it'll speed up the game because they're not doing like, you know, freaking calculus in their little notepads. Like it's insane what they do in those green books and the yardage books. Like it's absolutely insane what they do in there. So, you know, that would just be the absolute dream one day. Yeah. And you know, even though I use a push cart myself, actually carrying around someone else's big bag and, you know, be kind of cool.
Hell yeah.
Oh yeah.
Hell yeah.
So as always, guys, great bogeys for the boys, and girls, especially with Timmy's girlfriend just finding out about rakes. This is great. They learned something new every day.
That was the coolest thing. She calls golf tees sticks. She's like, can you give me a stick? Or I don't know. It's weird. But anyway.
Unreal. So as always, guys, we're ending off with my favorite segment, golfer poll. But it is a little different this week because we're doing a snake draft.
I'm just skipping the Charles Schwab challenge. We're not even going to do it. Who won it last year? Burger.
Daniel Burger Meister. And then he burned me at the Masters. Oh. And it was the first COVID tournament back, so I will say that. It was very good.
Texas?
Yeah, Fort Worth. Yeah, Colonial Country Club. It's a good tournament. I mean, it also just kind of stinks now that it used to be, because like there wasn't a major in May, so it used to be like a pretty, you know, it used to be a big tournament in May, but now that it's the week after the PGA, like it, you know, they kind of get the short end of the staff.
Right.
So like, I mean, Phil's going to be there, like, because it's such a historical tournament, like people still go. It's kind of like how Harbortown is too. Like people still go to it, but there are a couple other tournaments here and there that haven't been around for as long that are like after the US Open, after the Open, like, you know, that people kind of take off too. So interesting stuff, but yeah, you know, Charles Schwab challenge. Looking forward to it. See you tomorrow morning. Early groups on PGA Tour Live.
Hell yeah. Here we go.
Sweet. All righty. So who? Ryan,
you go first.
Okay.
All right. So we'll just restart it. So what we're doing here is we are doing a snake draft. We are creating an ultimate team, picking our captains for a 4-man scramble with all professional golfers. And we can choose any golfer who is currently playing, whether on the PGA Tour or Champions Tour. And we have those golfers in the prime of their life. So say we choose Freddie Couples for a captain, he will be in the prime of his career.
Boom. Now, who wants? Do you want me to go first, or who wants to go first?
Well, yeah, let's do it.
Sure. Yeah, go first.
Okay, because I get the first pick, and then I get the sixth pick. Right. So we're doing snake.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. So it would be me 1-6, Mikey 2-5, Timbo. You got 3-4. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Cool. So first pick overall. I mean, since Tiger's out of it, first pick Phil Mickelson. Right, put it on the board. He is my captain. Legend.
He goes with Phil. Wow.
As my captain, since we're doing the captains first and then we do the team.
Yeah, I wanted Phil. After
we all wanted Phil.
Come on. Tom Watson, sign me up.
Damn.
Tom Watson, I knew
Timmy. Damn good one.
I knew Timmy would want him, and boy, I'll take him right now.
Still playing
in his old age of who knows. I mean, he's got
70s.
Yeah, he's
close to his 70s at least.
All right, I'm doing it. I want a captain. I want someone who can lead my team. This has nothing to do with his ability, but I want him at the prime of his life. The best putter I've ever seen live. He's a captain this year, Mr. Steve Stricker.
Wow. Good pick.
You gotta have a lightning putter on your squad.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true.
And my fourth pick, I'm going to choose. I'm going to choose Dustin Johnson, number one player in the world. That's who I want. I want Steve Stricker, Dustin Johnson, not going to make waves on the team. Relax guy. He will listen to Steve Stricker. He's boy, can he spank a drive and make a few putts. That's for sure. All right. So those are my two.
Good gotcha.
One. Good one.
Mikey.
Yeah.
So you're up.
I'm going to go with I got a couple guys here that I'm thinking about. And I just kind of want to go old school for any listeners who may be of the older generation. And Lee Trevino, ball striking genius. Give me him around Chamawa. I mean, he could get on every green from the from the tee box.
Oh man, Mikey is going absolute old school right now with Tom Watson as your captain and then Lee Trevino. Okay.
Yep. Yep.
Oh boy. So back up to me with Big Phil. Let's see. I'm going to take.
Nobody's taking the greatest player of all time.
No one can take. I mean, you can't Jack. Take. I said you couldn't take Jack.
Oh, you said Jack too?
Yeah, you can.
You can't take. He's in his 80s. That doesn't count. Tom Watson barely counts.
Wait, I thought you said we could have these guys in our prime. In their prime.
No, you Jesus. Get no. Which is why you probably should take back your Lee Trevino pick.
Holy goodness! I thought
you said you could take. Oh, but Lee Trevino's not playing in the Champions, I guess.
No, he's not. That's the thing. So I was a little surprised by the Lee Trevino pick.
I thought you said we could get all these guys back when they were in their prime.
No, I said guys who are playing on the PGA Tour or the Champions Tour currently. So you might want to take back the Lee Trevino pick because he's not played golf since 2003.
I'll pick Rory McIlroy as my captain. I'm going to change both picks. Come on. I'm taking Rory McIlroy and I'm taking let's go with you can tell that we did not
plan this. No, we did not. This is why it's great. This is why the podcast can be great sometimes.
I mean, yeah, give me these two young guns, Jordan Spieth, little Rory and Jordan.
That's a good pick.
We need a putter.
That is a good pick. And Jordan Spieth sure is that. Oh, man. This is good. So I'm so not obviously, but.
Sorry, Watson and Trevino. Sorry.
Oh, man. You need a bomber. So I got to go with Bryson. As much as I'm not a Bryson guy. Got to go with Bryson. Just gotta.
You don't need that much of a bomber on these on Chamawa. You're bringing Bryson around.
Oh yeah, he's gonna hit 9-iron. Oh, and all then right.
Is it back to me or to
no?
Me?
I still gotta go. Oh man, who else am I bringing here? You know who I'm bringing?
What do we got?
I am bringing the best ball striker on the PGA Tour right now. I'm bringing Colin Morikawa.
Interesting. Okay.
All right.
At a small course, you need a ball striker.
So we got me and then Timmy for two?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with the Irishman on top of Rory.
Shane?
Nope. Patty. Padre. He's really my team captain.
Yeah, I was about to say, he's your team captain. He's on the Champions Tour.
Ryder Cup cap.
Oh, that's a good pick. That is a good pick.
I am going to have the most relaxed team there has ever been put together. My next pick is going to be Ernie Els in his prime.
Wow.
I love Ernie Els. My man, that squad is just going to be so relaxed. There's going to be no heartache because the next person I am going to choose is Bernhard Langer. I'm choosing Bernhard Langer. This is just...
I was going to get him in an absolute steal in the last pick.
Dude, who's a steal?
Huh?
You know who's a steal?
Who?
John Daly. I am rounding out my foursome with John Daly.
Oh, my team definitely loses now. Oh, man. That's brutal.
I got to put this on TikTok. I'm gonna put our teams up there and see who would win, like take a golfer poll as to whose team would win.
Brennan, it's scramble. Camaraderie is huge. Daily, big time.
Big time team guy. I'm screwed. I got Bryson. He's a horrible team guy.
He might get the team to start seeing a couple 2-3 holes when they're putting, but.
Oh, boy.
It's all right.
So we're talking team golf here. Are we ready? Are we ready?
Oh, God.
You know who I'm going to pick?
Rory Sabatini. No, Charlie Hoffman.
No. Oh, if only. No.
Colin Montgomery.
Oh, that would have been a good one. I still can't believe I didn't get Burhard. I was going to pick Burhard Langer as my last pick just because of his absolutely amazing putting. Oh, what a steal by Timbo. But I'm going with the best match play / team golf player in the world right now. Ian Poulter.
You gotta be kidding me. You're taking a guy you don't even want.
I'm taking the postman because he always delivers, baby.
Give that guy so much shit, and then you take him out of what?
Oh,
jealousy. You friggin'
I want the worst team. Now I want the worst team. You know that Bryson and Ian Poulter are walking off the first hole, so it's just gonna be Phil and Colin Morikawa. And you know what? They're probably gonna have a great time.
Yeah, you might not need two others.
I thought you were going to say Billy Horschel, which would be another
awful. No, Billy Horschel would have been fucking hilarious, though. Oh, man. All right. Well, you guys have some great teams and some great legends. I got a pretty crappy team, but you know what? I'm going to roll with it.
It could work. Weird things have happened.
Spieth, Rory, Padraig, John Daly. What do you got?
Fucking team. John Daly would literally just be the guy that sits in the cart and drinks beers the whole time and talks shit to the other team.
He'll pull out his driver every hole, and that's about it. He'll stay in the cart the rest of the time.
And drink beer, smoke cigarettes, talk shit to the other team. God, he is literally the best scramble player.
Hey, Johnny, we just missed three in a row. We need you to come make this putt-putt. Come on, Johnny. Come over here, kid.
Uh-oh, we're in trouble.
He drives his car on the green. No doubt. He's taking a car without a doubt.
He's driving the cart next to the hole. He'll put the freaking wheel as the backstop, so if it rolls out, it'll roll back in. Counts. Oh, that'd be unbelievable.
Ernie L., Steve Stricker, Bernhard Langer, and Dustin Johnson for me.
That's an old man team.
Old man team.
And Dustin Johnson.
Spirited by DJ.
DJ's going last, that's for sure. Steve Stricker's putting one in the fairway.
I was about to say, you might want to, you want DJ going last. Did Steve Stricker's taking out his lot of woods coming up.
Yeah.
Still an all-time quote. Oh, a lot of covers coming off.
Not a Chamawa.
For him, maybe a Chamawa. Oh, man. Well, guys, as always, what an unbelievable night. If you want to support the podcast, there will be the link tree in the bio, as well as you can check us out on all of our socials at Duffin Up. We really appreciate everyone who listens to this. We know that there's a special group of you out there, especially the one guy from France who listens every week. We love you. There's other people who listen too. We love you too. You're all great. We love all of you.
Love.
Oh, man.
Mrs. Right. Bolin.
My Aunt Maureen.
Mrs. Bolin.
My Aunt Maureen, my Aunt Carrie, shout out to you guys. You guys watch on the YouTube, on the YouTube machine. We love it. But hey, let's get out there and let it fly, boys. What do you say?
Sorry for the audio and video complications for those listening. My apologies. Let's play better.
Get out there and duff it up, fellas, and in the process, attempt to hole everything.
Let's go.